Hey, y'all. What the hell day is it?
I don't know. Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
I think it's Tuesday. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Cause Wednesday
I forgot
show
for
day.
A second. Yeah, that's
two,
right.
Tuesday show, Wednesday show day.
My brain is breaking down.
We watched this
one
last night, man. Fucking I, Tonya. It was good. It was real good.
I fucking loved this
movie. It's got that girl who played Joker's girlfriend in Birds of Prey. What's the name of it? Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
She plays Tonya Harding in it. And
Margot Robbie, that's what her name
Margot
is.
Robbie.
And she was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah,
too.
She has another good role that she did.
She's a great fucking actress.
She's great. She's really good. I was impressed with her. She could, just change her hair and her makeup and just dress like fucking redneck 90s, and it just totally changes the way she looks. She's wearing braces at certain times, and you would never know that that was beautiful-ass Margot Robbie. Like kind of just like average girl, really, you know? Even though Tonya in real life, she was kind of cute. She was cute.
She was actually a very attractive young lady back in the 90s.
But this is
I haven't seen her lately.
Kind of a comedic story, but true, and kind of tragic in a way of fucking what happened to her ass. And it's true crime, so
kind of. I mean,
crime happens in it. And it was a scandal, man, if you lived through this shit. Fucking, it was all over.
I remember it.
And it was all over everything.
I remember all of this happening, like, in real time.
She was like a national pariah for a while.
Yeah.
And then quickly replaced by O.J. The O.J. case happened.
Yeah, and they actually kind of have that happen at the end. Like,
right.
You know, the press are all leaving from out in front of Jeff Galluli's house, and then on the TV is the... You know, Bronco Chase, like the O.J. Simpson thing.
This is a great movie.
Yeah, I had actually been wanting to see this for a long time. I can't believe it came out. It's like 2017. That's how long ago this came out. And it was nominated for a fuck ton of Oscars.
Yeah.
It actually won. Allison Janney, who played her mom, won Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, she's great.
Oscar, and she won a Golden Globe.
Everybody's great.
Margot Robbie was nominated, but she didn't win. But this got like a whole bunch of nominations anyway. And I think I don't think I saw any negative reviews of it. I mean, I didn't look at all of them, but most of the reviews were like overwhelmingly positive.
It's about a bunch of dumbasses. It's funny as fuck.
Essentially.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny and it's tragic. It's like up there with Pain and Gain. If you like the movie Pain and Gain,
it was kind of like a similar. Because it's a serious topic. There's serious stuff. It's a serious crime and it's bad. And there's a lot of stuff about like domestic abuse and stuff like that. And you would think that you wouldn't be able to make a dark comedy out of that and like make, but it really works.
Yeah,
it's funny. But it's not really making fun of, not exactly. It's not. It's a really difficult balance to kind of do. But it really seems like this movie actually did it really well.
Growing up in the 90s when this case happened, you weren't really sure what the fuck was true and what wasn't, because the media would just tell you anything.
And that's kind of one of the themes of this movie too, because it's almost, some of it is done like like an actual movie, but some of it's done like mockumentary.
Yeah.
Where they're like interviewing, because what the director of the movie did was he actually interviewed the real Tonya Harding and the real Jeff Galluli, and he thought that it was so fascinating that they both had wildly differing accounts of what actually happened. And so that's sort of like a theme that's threaded throughout the movie, is that you're not really entirely sure what happened, because everybody's account of it was different in the sense that they were just trying to make themselves look good.
It wasn't just them, though.
Every
news channel had a slightly different take.
Yeah.
Every news story said something different. I mean, there were some... I believe that I, for a while, up until this movie, I thought Tonya Harding hit that chick with the baseball bat.
No. I never thought that. Although I did see some.
Said that.
I did see some people that did think that, but I never thought that. I knew it was somebody she had hired, or that somebody that Jeff Galluli had hired.
I didn't know, because
it was a dude that did.
I remember them saying that on the news, or leading you to believe that, and then this movie reminds you that some news stories said that she did it.
And as far as, like I said, I can't remember. I don't really remember. I remember when this happened, but it was like 1994. So it was like a long time ago. And, you know, I was like in my early 20s. It was a very long time ago. And so I remember seeing, because I was kind of into, you know, I like to watch figure skating and stuff. So I did kind of like follow this fairly closely. Yeah. I don't remember any of the news things saying outright that she had done it, but I'm not saying that that didn't happen. I'm just saying that but they the way they worded it might have suggested to some people, because I did see a couple people comment on YouTube videos that were reviewing this movie that for a long time they thought that she had actually done it herself.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I never thought that. I just always knew it was a dude, but the controversy arose over whether she knew about the conspiracy, because there was a conspiracy, whether she knew about it ahead of time or whether she only knew about it after the fact.
I was led to believe that her and some dudes did it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened. I believe this account in the movie. It's plausible. I believe this account. I think she didn't know. I think she didn't know.
I mean, the thing about it, I was curious because it had been a long time since I'd thought about this case. We should probably do a show about this because it's actually kind of fascinating.
Well, it'd be like doing JonBenet Ramsey. We did that, didn't we?
Have we done JonBenet Ramsey yet? I thought we had, but I know we were talking about it, but then we've done so many shows that I can't remember. I know we did like some other high profile like child abductions, like Madeline McCann and stuff.
To me, it's obvious what happened in that case. It's just that they couldn't say it on the news. The parents were defending the person who really did it. That's what I think happened.
But the thing about this movie, though, is that it's told, you know, most of it is told from Tanya. I mean, they did, like I said, it's based on real interviews with, you know, mostly Tanya Harding and Jeff Galluli and some of the other actors that were, or other people that were involved in it. So it's based on that, even though it's obviously actors playing them. So everybody has their own take on it. Now, I will say, and they go into this in the movie, Tanya Harding did get a plea deal, you know, and they kind of get into this at the end where they basically, like, banned her from skating, like, forever. I don't even think she was allowed to coach or anything like that, so, which was, like, a big blow, and they kind of get into that in the end of the movie, which was actually kind of heartbreaking, really, oddly, saying this is, like, a dark comedy, but I was reading the Wikipedia page because I had forgotten a lot of the details of this, because I'm like, well, did she actually, how involved was she in this? Because I can't really remember a lot of the details. Now, according to what Wikipedia said, so I don't know if this is true or not, but it said that there had been an indictment brought down, that they had found evidence that she absolutely did know about it ahead of time, but since she had already taken the plea deal, they just said, well, fuck it. She's already been, like, punished.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure what that entailed. Now, she for sure knew about it afterward.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's not legal either. Like, what you should have reported.
She might have known about the death threats, but not necessarily known about the plot to fucking hit her in the knee with a police baton.
The movie's not, I don't want to say the movie spins it a particular way, because it doesn't. The point of the movie is that everybody involved that they interviewed had a different story, and they're kind of showing all these stories. It even says, like, at a card at the beginning, this is all based on, like, irony-free, wildly contradictory interviews by, like, all the people involved. So you're kind of led to kind of come to your own conclusion about it.
Yeah.
But because so much of the narrative is Tanya Harding's, I guess just by virtue of that, it's going to be more sympathetic to her point of view.
You can watch this free on Pluto TV.
No, it's on Hulu. Oh,
it's on Hulu?
It was on Hulu.
It was Pluto. Okay, no. It's on Hulu TV.
That's where I saw it.
It might be, if it's free on Hulu, sometimes it'll also be free on
Well, no, because Hulu, Hulu you have to pay.
Oh, you have to pay for that?
Yeah. Hulu's like $6 a month or $8 a month.
It might be free on Amazon, too.
Mate, I don't think it is, though. I didn't see it. Okay. The reason that I remembered about it was that I was flipping through Hulu the other day looking for another movie, and I was like, oh, shit, they have I, Tonya. I've been wanting to see that for a couple of years.
It's worth watching.
Don't give a shit about figure skating.
I really didn't give a shit.
Even if you don't, even if you don't even remember when this happened, I think it'll be a lot more resonant if you actually did live through it, because, like I said, I remember this pretty vividly, because I was kind of into figure skating at the time, and I was kind of watching it. And but even if you're not into that, it is still wildly entertaining.
Yeah, it's real entertaining. The tone is like Pain and Gain.
It's very funny.
It's real funny. But it's kind of tragic too. I mean, she goes through hell. She didn't have a good upbringing. Her mom was fucked up. Her boyfriend was fucked up. She was kind of like the least. She seems to be the most innocent person out of them all. She was really getting the shitty end of the stick.
I mean, everyone were kind of, like, idiots.
They were all kind of dumb.
And also kind of
Right.
Shitty.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of shitty.
Yeah, they're calling them rednecks, which redneck really doesn't fit. She was from up north, all right?
Well, Oregon, Pacific Northwest.
Right. That's still the north, you know, the Oregon. Yeah, that's above where, yeah, that's still the north.
Yeah.
But I would say more like a hillbilly.
Yeah.
More like a hillbilly in a way.
Well, I kind of remember
when
she first started kind of rising through the ranks of figure skating back in the 90s. That was something that a lot of people commented on because she had homemade costumes and she figure skated to like ZZ Top and shit like that, which a lot of other skaters weren't doing back then because everybody wanted to be like Pretty Princess and everything. Yeah. And she wasn't like that. She was a real kind of like I said, she was a pretty girl, but she was... You know, kind of rough and tumble. You know, she worked on cars. She
was tough.
Yeah, shit like that. And, you know, so she kind of, like, clawed her way to the top. Even though I will say there was an element, and I remember this from the time, too, because, like I said, I grew up in sort of a redneck area, so I kind of knew this whole thing. But the movie goes a little bit into the kind of, like, classist kind of shit that she got. Whereas sometimes she would skate better than the other girl, or so she believed, but she skated really good, and they would still
give her
kind of gave her like low scores because oh well, you skated to like some classic rock song, or
your
you had kind of a shitty looking outfit or something like that, because she couldn't afford the costumes, and so a lot of times she made them herself and stuff like that. And, you know, she looked kind of quote-unquote trashy, if you want to, like I said. So they do kind of go into that.
But she's like, a great athlete,
she was a great fucking skater. And honestly, and I'm glad that they kind of go into this, is that she was only the second female skater in the world to actually do a triple axel.
She had those elevated testosterone levels.
Maybe.
For fighting her whole life, yeah. Get punched in the face.
And the thing about
it, said make her mad and she skates better.
I have to say that Allison Janney's Oscar for this performance was well earned.
Yeah.
She pretty much steals every scene that she's in. She's fucking great at this.
Yeah.
She is just
chain smoking bitch.
Yeah, she is just straight up evil.
Yeah.
But I read a little bit of an interview with the actress because she was saying, well, how I was approaching this character was that, you know, she was, you know, a stone cold bitch, obviously, but she was like well meaning. She thought, well, I have to like make this kid tough because she's going to need to be tough, like to get where she wants to go.
Yeah.
So just from the time, because I think the movie, it kind of like, it kind of starts in the present day and then it goes back to when Tanya is 4, like when she first started out. And just the way that her mom like talks to her and treats, and her mom is like kind of like, you know, trashy and foul-mouthed and shit like that. It's just constantly chain-smoking and shit.
Funny.
And it's just fucking hilarious. Like, it's hilarious, but it's also fucked up. You know what I mean?
She comes off like a Russian female prison warden.
She does. She oh, my like, God.
Yeah,
yeah. I was embarrassed for you.
Yeah. You skated like shit. She told the fucking people, "Would suck my dick." It was the fucking funny shit.
It's and she like movie. She paid like at one competition. Remember, she paid a guy to like heckle her
to
tell her
skate.
How much she sucked.
Yeah,
to make her skate better because he said she's like, well, you have to make her mad, and then that way she'll skate better.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, it's elevated testosterone fucking levels fucking getting her to fight for survival. And I've seen her skate because they at the end of the movies they show HD. Fucking touch ups.
Yeah, that footage
skating.
Of her. Yeah,
and she isn't good.
She was a really good skater. I mean, she didn't get that far for fucking nothing.
No,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and honestly, I think because of her background and the way she was kind of like I said, she was very rough and tumble. She wasn't very good at getting along with other people because she wasn't really part of that world.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So she had to be better.
Yeah. So they're asking in there if I'd seen the porn. Yeah, matter of fact, we're watching the movie. Fucking,
he's like, is that still out
is that
there
one
somewhere?
That's just still on there. And fucking looked it up. It's real grainy and low res from a VHS tape, and it's her and her ex-husband's wedding, or what is it? Not wedding. What do you call it? Honeymoon tape. And if I remember correctly, and this shit was on from Howard Stern. He the husband somehow had rights to sell it. I think he sold it.
Yeah, I think Tanya had to do with that. She had to sign off on that too.
Okay.
Because I think it says on the Wikipedia page that they actually did get like X amount. I don't remember what the amount was.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did sell it. It's not like it leaked or anything like that. They did actually sell it.
But that was one of the first celebrity couples that made money doing that. And right after that, the Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson.
I thought the Tommy Lee and Pamela was before that, but I might be remembering it wrong. Like I said, it was a long time ago. There was a big rash
of that shit. Even Paris Hilton fucking her tape.
How did that get out? Oh my goodness!
They would pretend that it was leaking. No, they were fucking selling that shit.
Of course.
And
it's like just
money. They were hurting for money, so they released it. And I remember guys renting it, but they were renting it mostly just like a curio. I mean, it's not any good at all. You can barely see anything, and it's just, you know.
Well, I kind of feel like a lot of those celebrity sex tapes, they're like, well, we're celebrities. It's not like we have to have, like, really high production values or anything like that. People will pay to see it just because it's a famous person.
Yeah, there's really nothing.
It don't matter how crappy it looks. And in some ways, if the crappier it looks, the more likely that people are to, like, get all off on it because they think, oh, it's more likely to be authentic or whatever. You're seeing them like a real person.
The only good one from that era was Pamela Anderson and fucking Tommy Lee. That was like some good fucking.
Well, that was kind of like the gold standard.
That was the gold standard. They're out on the
celebrity leaked.
Yeah,
porn.
Fucking Tommy's fucking on the yacht, fucking piloting the yacht, getting blown and shit. And Pamela's looking gorgeous, you know, fucking running around, fucking, and it was, you know, just like, it was like gonzo porn.
Yeah,
I think they recorded it with the full intent of releasing.
Of course.
That was a stunt because they needed. I think they were starting to need money in their career, and that must have made a fucking shit ton of money.
Now I'm kind of curious. I'm sure there's a Wikipedia page about that too. You probably look it up and say, "How much money did this?" You know,
well,
you can answer everything now.
It happened in a time where it was difficult to control the medium. I mean, you had VHS to VHS recording, but it was a pain in the ass. It was easier just to buy the $40 tape, the $30 tape, whatever. And, you know, they didn't really have, they had some cable services for porn, and the internet really wasn't strong yet. So that was how, that made a lot of money. Paris Hilton did too.
Yeah, that's kind of like the last big one that I remember.
Yeah.
It's not like I keep track of celebrity
porn
tapes.
But she was
cute,
flat, and I don't like flat-chested girls.
You were just like, meh.
And it was done in night shot, fucking low-light night shot. So she was like plausible deniability, like, oh, that's not me, that's you.
Yeah. So we did look at it. And honestly, this is kind of hard to say because I don't really, like I said, I wasn't there. I don't know. And this movie doesn't take a stand on whether, because nobody knows, over whether Tanya Harding knew about the attack on Nancy Kerrigan before it happened. She for sure knew about it after it happened, but the way that it's portrayed in the film, Jeff Galluli said, that who was her husband at the time, they're kind of on again, off again, he said that originally what they were going to do was that they were going to engage in what he called psychological warfare by sending death threats to Nancy Kerrigan to, like, throw her off her game so she would fuck up and so, you know, Tanya Harding would win. He got this idea because someone had sent a death threat to Tanya Harding, and then later you find out that it's actually a friend of Jeff Galluli who did that and blah, blah, blah. So, initially, so how the movie portrays it is that Jeff insists that Tanya just thought, he's like, she knew that we were going to do something to Nancy Kerrigan, but she thought that it was just going to be like death threats. Like, we were just going to mail death threats to her to throw her off her game or whatever. But he insists that unbeknownst to her, he paid $1,000 to this chubby friend of his who said he was an expert in international counterterrorism. Was that what he said?
Yeah.
That character is amazing.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's like you watch this movie and you think that that character's like, that can't possibly be real. But then they show clips of like the real guy, like during the credits and stuff like that. You're like, oh my god, it absolutely is real. It's like not even exaggerated.
Dude was not believable. Not credible.
He was like talking about he was a spy and he'd been like all over the fucking world, like doing this and that, like fucking rubbing people out and shit.
He made Steven Seagal look credible.
And he was just like completely. The funniest thing about it was that he was completely naive to how like dumb he was, and he thought that everybody like actually believed this shtick about. And actually, it's funny because I guess you know, Jeff Galuli and the other guy that actually did the kneecapping, they actually kind of believed it too. But everybody involved in this, like Jeff Galuli, was an idiot, and the two friends that he worked with to do the kneecapping, also idiots, but they weren't aware that they were idiots, which is where a lot of the humor in this movie comes from. They think that they're these like international fucking, not, I guess not so much as in Pain and Gain, because those guys were also idiots that thought they were like master criminals. It's kind of the same sort of vibe here.
In Pain and Gain, they fucking,
but they make like really, really stupid mistakes. Like they even say, like in this movie, in I, Tonya, like the one guy, it's like they called like to find out where Nancy Kerrigan trains, because that's where they're going to do it. And they, not only do they go to the wrong place, like in the wrong fucking city, but then the guy says, oh, well, to keep from drawing suspicion to myself, I'm going to park in this one spot for 15 minutes and then move to another spot for another 15 minutes and then another spot for 15. And he did that for like two solid days and he wasn't even at the right place. And like the cameras like caught him doing it.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck? That is like really suspicious. Yeah. What is going on there? So they just did all this like really stupid shit that.
In Pain and Gain, the guys were so dumb that they were almost geniuses. When they, when they did the abduction.
Almost came all the way back around.
Yeah, it came. When they committed their crime, these were muscle men dressed up as ninjas with ninja weapons.
Yeah.
And when people saw it and reported it to the police said that that shit was so dumb, they didn't believe it. They're like, yeah, ninjas.
See, so maybe in some ways there might be some merit to just doing something so stupid and ridiculous
that the cops
that no one would believe that anyone would actually be so stupid or ridiculous to do that.
That's not what it was, though. They thought in order to commit the crime, you better fucking dress up like ninjas because it's like tactical. No one will see us. That's what they were thinking. We'll look professional.
Yeah, they genuinely did seem to think that.
Yeah,
which, like I said, that's where the hilarity comes from. Because, obviously, I mean, even though that's, you know, a tragic case, like people got murdered.
Right.
That's, like, not funny.
When they ran up on, when they invaded dude's Florida home, they were all wearing tiger stripe fucking camouflage, like they were in Vietnam and shit.
I cannot imagine being that clueless. I just can't.
And of course,
I know some people are.
We're talking
I've met some of them.
We're talking about a Florida, basically a Florida area like this. Like it's almost kind of like exurbs. You know what I mean? It's exurbs. Or suburbs. Outside the suburbs. That'd be exurbs, right?
Yeah. That's although, like I said,
he's in the rich neighborhood in the exurbs.
Yeah.
So they're going to wear fucking camouflage and no one will see him.
Of course.
Yeah. No, that won't stick out. Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. Heaven forbid we dress up like the Domino's Pizza Man. Somebody might see us.
Yeah, it's like, why didn't they dress up like fucking, just, you know.
The spy movies will shit and fucking show you, man. You dress up as the UPS man.
Yeah. Or like the Amazon Prime
delivery
guy.
Somebody belongs there. Somebody who belongs fucking
right. Nobody would give that person a second look. Because they're supposed to be there.
Nope. And some of the real pros in these fucking war-torn areas, they just fucking assemble a fucking police uniform. They do that. Because if you see cops fucking shooting the place up, what do? You're going to call the cops? No. You're going to go run.
Oh, the cops some bad shit
the cops.
Must be going
bad
down.
Guys are happening.
Sure, bad guys are happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you know, the cops are killing bad guys. You know?
Yeah.
That's not what it is, though.
Tyler says, I think Pain and Gain was a little more fictionalized than this one was. Yeah, I will give it that.
Yeah.
But
that's what made that one awesome, though.
But yeah. I mean, this one was really not all that fictionalized, at least according to Tanya's account and Jeff Galuli's account. Yeah. I will say, as much of an idiot as Jeff Galuli is, that when they did the interviews for this movie, they offered him money and he wouldn't take it.
Okay.
So, and they actually kind of like went into at the end of this movie, because the end of this movie was actually like kind of touching.
Yeah.
There's this scene at the end where, you know, Tonya Harding has to, you know, they do the plea deal and the judge is giving her the sentence. And she got like, what, it was like some like suspended sentence or a fine.
18 months.
Yeah, something like that.
18 months suspended.
Yeah, 18 months suspended. That's what it is. She didn't spend any time in jail, but they said, well, you're banned from skating. Like, you can't be in, you can't do it.
Like, no.
And she just like, she flipped out. She like started like crying. She's like, that's all she knows how to do.
She wanted to go to jail, do the jail time.
She would have rather done the jail time. She said, I'll do the jail time. I just, you can't do this to me. This is all I know how to do. And it was like really sad.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. It's like, that is all that she knew how to do.
So she became a boxer.
Her entire life.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't, she wasn't good at school. She didn't go to college, nothing like that. But she, like, she was an amazing fucking figure skater.
Yeah.
And she was so good at that. And then whether she knew about the plot, you know, to kneecap Nancy Kerrigan ahead of time, I don't know. If she didn't know, then that is like the worst shit ever, because Jeff Galluli, he says that she didn't know and that he feels the reason he won't take any money for anything is because he feels really bad, just like he says in this movie, that he ruined her life. He ruined her career.
I don't think she knew about the kneecapping. I think she knew about them calling her and harassing her because people harassed her.
I think she gave the okay to that. I think we're gonna do some psychological warfare, which that's not cool either. But it's a very far cry.
She didn't have to do anything. She was good enough to compete without all that shit.
But maybe she didn't feel like that, because the thing about it that they kind of go into, I don't want to say that this movie's not like overly sympathetic to Tonya. Yeah. You know, it doesn't romanticize her. But it does kind of show, like, why she ended up the way she ended up. Yeah. And if her mom was really like that, they do have a clip of, like, her actual mom, like, toward the end. If her mom was really like that, then it's kind of amazing that she actually turned out as relatively normal. And I know that's again, a relative term.
Yeah.
But because having a mom like that, that was constantly, you know, and the mom maybe had some other... She wouldn't even, like, say she loved her. She wouldn't do anything like that. Like, the one time that she comes to her house, like, later on after the whole debacle happens, and she pretends, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so proud of you, and then hugs her. And then it turns out that she's wearing a wire, like, to get her to, like, confess, and she's going to sell it to the press.
Yeah.
So her mom clearly, you know, it, at least in the movie, at least according to Tanya's perception, does not really give a shit about her. And it's like... Whether the mom actually thought, well, I have to be tough on you to make you a champion. I mean, it did work, but having that relentlessly drilled into you from the time you're 4 years old, that's not going to be good for your mental health. You're never going to feel like you're good enough.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like maybe, you know, I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying if she did know about the kneecapping ahead of time, she would have said, well, you know, there's so many unfair, other people have unfair advantages over me, so I'm going to, like, you know, have an unfair advantage over them for a change.
Tyler, as far, because they're talking about Pain and Gain in there, again, no need for me saying how good Mark Wahlberg and fucking The Rock were in Pain and Gain and how they made that movie work. Yeah, okay, Pain and Gain might have been a little bit fictionalized, but not so much the subject matter or anything. I mean, what happened, that is what happened.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
Right, what was fictionalized was the tone. The tone and the over-the-top kind of delivery of the material to make it a little bit more exciting and funnier and weirder. You know, they were weird. So I think the tone was slightly fictionalized. They're torturing a dude. That's no fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But fucking, you know, that couldn't be funny. But they kind of made it a little bit funny.
Yeah.
So I think they just kind of fictionalized the tone of it, and probably the settings. They made the settings look pretty glamorous and high end. I got a feeling, you know, the gym where he worked wasn't as high end as they showed it. I got a feeling that a lot of the New Yorkers that they were fucking over, that their houses weren't that nice. They were probably like ours, but they were showing like the millionaire mansions. I doubt it. I doubt that.
But see, that's what I'm saying about dark comedy is really hard to pull off well.
Yeah. Pain and Gain did it, though.
Pain and Gain did it, and this movie absolutely did it. I can see, like, watching this movie, I fucking loved this movie, seriously. Like I said, even if you don't care about figure skating, you don't care about that, this is still, like, super, super entertaining, and you should watch it. But it's like, and again, like, Pain and Gain... You know, so people got tortured and murdered, and it's not funny. That's not funny.
Yeah.
And, like, in this one, you know, there's domestic abuse. There's not only, you know, Tanya's mom beating up on her, but also Jeff Galooly beating up on her.
Just punching her without just fucking, without
punching her
warning.
And shit like that. And it's fucked up.
Yeah.
And to make that funny and to make it like a dark comedy, that's really, really hard. That's like a, that's like a fucking tightrope kind of shit.
Yeah, what I
like
about,
they absolutely did it.
She didn't take that shit lying down either. She grabbed that fucking shotgun and was shooting at him and stuff.
Although she said, I didn't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
While she's like, she probably did. The shit.
She was a fighter. She fought back.
Yeah.
She went
She did kind of go into, and like I said, a lot of children that went through abuse have the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
You get the thing where you feel like you deserve it.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of people, particularly women that grow up, you know, abused by their parents, and they will go up and grow up and get into relationships with people that abuse them because they think that that's how people show love. That's how they show that they care about you, by beating the crap out of you. And they think that they deserve it. And she kind of goes into that a little bit. So there is like a lot of that. There's a lot of like deeper issues in this, like about her, but it's really hard to explain because it's like it's not played for laughs. It's not making fun of her.
No, making fun of the situation.
It's kind of making fun of the situation because the situation was absurd.
Yeah,
the whole
everybody in this bitch is absurd.
Yeah, the whole debacle. About it was it was absurd. It was an absurd situation.
Tanya's the least absurd out of all of them.
Pretty much.
She's the one fucking taking all the heat.
And it's kind of, and like I said, if you see it like that, you know, if indeed she didn't know about the actual physical attack, then this is almost like plays like a tragedy. Like it's funny, but it almost plays like a tragedy because her whole entire career was ruined, like I said, and she became, and she even says this in the movie, she became, you know, a punchline.
Yeah.
And she did. And I remember that happening. There was like, they even had like in the background of one of the scenes, they had like David Letterman doing his top 10 and it was all about her, like making fun of her.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a long time after this happened, she just became a fucking joke.
Yeah.
And like you said, after a while, she was banned from skating. She couldn't skate anymore. So, you know, and she didn't have any money. It's because I kind of feel like people feel like, oh, well, you're in the Olympics.
So you got money.
Then you got money. But you know, if you don't win, if you don't come in like, you know, the top one, you don't get anything. Because all those athletes have is usually like, you know, endorsements, like company endorsements and stuff. And if you don't come in like on the top, then no one's going to give a shit. So you just got to go back. She'd had to go back to her like fucking job at Spud City or whatever it was. She was like a waitress and she had to go back to that and like couldn't afford anything. And after she was banned from skating, she basically had to do shit like sell sex tapes or she went on like celebrity boxing type of shit. I think she was on, she was on some reality show with fucking Kato Kaelin. Remember him? The guy that lived behind the O.J. Simpson?
The O.J. guy.
Like, I think it was called, like, the 5 minutes of, or 15 minutes of fame edition of whatever show it was. And she was on there with Kato Kaelin. Might have been Celebrity Deathmatch or one of those, like, celebrity boxing kind of things. So she was on there with that. And I don't know. Like, she got married later on to somebody else and, like, had a kid. And she's apparently, like, doing okay nowadays. But she does, now she just does, like house construction and shit, like painting and shit like that.
Yeah, working.
Yeah, she has like a like a kind of a construction business, as far as I could determine. So it's honestly, if you think about it, it's actually really kind of sad.
Yeah.
Like I said, if she did know about it, then probably she's got her just desserts. But
although had she made it through the Olympics and even won at this time in her life, really the best thing she could be would be a trainer.
Yeah, which probably was what she would have wanted, because you think that's what a lot of, because she seemed like the kind of person that this was all she ever wanted. She was very, very driven, and this was all she knew how to do, and she was really good at it, and she loved it.
It makes you wonder why she couldn't be a trainer just as she is, the way she is. She can't compete, but does that mean she can't train?
I guess, well, you couldn't do anything. I think one of the stipulations of the plea deal was that she couldn't have anything to do with like the official body.
The official body, right.
But she could probably open up, I don't know, maybe she doesn't want to like expose herself to that anymore, because I feel like, although I don't know, maybe everybody would have forgotten about it for a while. Well, they would have forgotten about it if this movie had come out. Now everybody was reminded. You know what's hilarious? I was reading the Wikipedia page about this. Margot Robbie, who, you know, obviously plays Tonya Harding, and she was also the co-producer on this. She, when she first read the screenplay, she didn't realize this was based on a true story.
Oh, he did. She didn't, huh?
It's like, I was like, is she really that much younger than us? Funny. I guess she must be.
Yeah, she wasn't old enough.
She wasn't old enough to, like, remember it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny because when we got to the part in the movie where, because I remember very much after the whole, they call it the incident in the movie, like, where she kneecapped,
somebody kneecapped her.
Like, yeah. I don't know if she had anything to do with it or not. But when Nancy Kerrigan got kneecapped, and then I remember, like, the fucking, I guess it was the Olympics, Lillehammer, right? And it was 94. And the media were, like, having a fucking field day because this was the first time, like, Nancy Kerrigan had healed. And this was the first time she was going to be competing, I think, like, since then. And she was going to be competing against Tonya Harding, you know, with a bunch of other, I think, was it Oksana Bayul and Katarina Witt? And there was, like, a bunch of other skaters there as well. And so the media were selling as this big, oh, it's like the fucking showdown, you know what I mean, between fucking Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan's first time they're meeting on the ice since the incident and all this others. And I remember like the fucking hype about it back in 1994. And when we were watching the movie, I was like, oh, I remember that they hyped the shit out of this. Like they were playing it like it was this big fucking death match. And then when they skated, Nancy Kerrigan got the silver. So she came in second and Tonya Harding came in eighth. Yeah. So it was like, wah, wah. Yeah. It was like some big wet fart. And it's really funny because in the movie, Margot Robbie as Tonya Harding, she says, and I remember this too, and that's why I laughed when I saw this scene. She's like, if you watch the footage of Nancy Kerrigan with her silver medal, like on the thing, it's like she looks like she smells a poo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what her face looked like.
Yeah.
She was just kind of like, my face, I should have won. Yeah. I'm not shitting on Nancy Kerrigan. I'm sure she's a lovely person. And honestly, it's funny because I guess Nancy Kerrigan got asked about this movie like when it came out. And Nancy was just basically kind of like, whatever. She's like,
she didn't care
I got my own life. Yeah. She's like, she was an amazing skater and she was very classy about it. You know, she's like, I'm not going to, you're probably not going to watch the movie, but you know what I mean? Why would you? But she's like, that was a long time ago and she's got her family. I got my family and nobody's really worried about it anymore.
Yeah, no need so, we didn't know it was Margot Robbie. Yeah, man. So in the very beginning that it was her.
Yeah.
And you don't recognize her.
Well, yeah. Cause
eventually you kind of do, but not at first.
The little girl that plays her, like when she's a kid, I'm pretty sure that's the same kid that was in, god damn it, what the fuck was she in? I feel like she was in The Black Coat's Daughter, like when she, or something like that. I think that's that same actress. What the fuck is that actress's name? When she was like a little kid. But once Tonya Harding gets to like 15, 16, then Margot Robbie plays her.
Yeah, and you don't recognize it as Margot Robbie. It looks,
because they did that horrible like 80s hair.
Yeah, and braces.
And the braces and like
bad clothes.
Yeah.
Fucked up makeup that they wore.
Oh my god!
And it wasn't everybody wearing that makeup, but that was just the standard, you know. That was y'all makeup.
That was kind of like your standard trailer park. And like I said, I'm not shitting because I grew up in a trailer park too. So you know what I mean. I'm not being judgmental.
That was just the time. That's what was in style for them.
Yeah, and you know, and this movie too has a fuck ton of classic rock favorites in it. Well, the ZZ Top song Sleeping Bag, they put that in there. Well, she actually did skate to that. I remember seeing that actually.
And it ends with Susie though.
It does. And she never skated to that.
Yeah.
But the director of the film was like, I just always thought there would be something really cool about having footage of the real Tonya Harding skating to Susie and the Banshees cover of The Passenger. And so that's over the end credits. Yeah. Oh, I have to say too that Margot Robbie did a lot of her own skating for this. She trained for many months and actually wounded herself many times while she was working on it. Obviously, they couldn't find anybody that could do a triple axel because a lot of skaters, female ones especially, and male ones too, like can't do it. So they actually had to do that with CGI. But the CGI in this is like so seamless that I never noticed. Because I'm looking. I was like, let me see where the stunt double is, because I know that she didn't. But honestly, Margot Robbie did do a lot of her own skating.
Yeah.
And but like I said, the triple axel, they had to do that with CGI, because nobody can do it, really. There's only like a couple skaters in the world that can actually do it. And they actually kind of like explain it in the movie. But I will, this movie did actually get that fucking Supertramp song stuck in my head, though. I've had that fucking Goodbye Stranger. That Supertramp song has been stuck in my head all day long since we watched it last night. But, yeah. So, Nanny for Me Too says ZZ Top, cheap sunglasses, yeah. I didn't even realize Margot was playing her. Now I'll definitely check it out. Is she making anything from it? I came late, so I missed some of the beginning. And this movie came out back in 2017. I didn't realize it was that old already. I remember hearing about it, and I was like, oh, I gotta see that. Because I remember when all that shit happened. But then I kind of forgot about it. But then when I was scrolling through Hulu last night, I was like, oh, yeah, we wanted. And Tom was like, didn't we want to see that? And I was like, yeah, let's watch that. And I was like, it's funny because all the matinees we've done this week, we did The Devils, we did Mommy Dearest, and we did this one. And I said, oh, and they're all like crazy movies that are based on true stories. And we didn't even mean to do that. That was a total accident. And this one actually is kind of like Mommy Dearest in the sense that the mother-daughter relationship in this is super, super fucked up and abusive. So there's that, too. We had a whole theme going. Yep. We didn't even mean to have a whole theme going. But, yeah. So if you have Hulu, I'm sure you can get this on other streaming services. But if you have Hulu, this is on there. And as I said, pretty much every review of this movie I've seen has been wildly positive. It was nominated for all the fucking awards, and it won a few. And it's very easy to see why. Like I said, even if you don't give a shit about figure skating or any of that, this is still, like, super, super entertaining, super, super funny. Like I said, especially if you like dark comedies that have kind of, like, it kind of has, like, a heart to it, too. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, it's almost like a tragedy, but not overtly, you know what I mean? But yeah, like, I really, really like the tone of it. Yeah, if you like Pain and Gain, you probably like this, because the tone of it is kind of similar. Although, Pain and Gain, I guess, was kind of darker, because people got murdered. This one, somebody just got their leg broken, which is bad, but not, obviously, as bad as being
Pain and Gain's darker and funnier.
I don't know. Well, yeah.
I think it's funnier.
Yeah. But this one's pretty fucking funny,
this
too.
This one's funny, too. It's different, but it's similar.
Yeah.
If you like the Pain and Gain, you'd like this.
Yeah, and like I said, especially if you're into, like, watching, like, 80s and 90s fucking fashions and classic rock and all that kind of stuff, it's like, this was super fun. I had a really good time with it. But, yeah, so that'll do it for this matinee. Now, tomorrow night is our regular show, and we are doing another thing a little bit akin to our Phantom of the Opera one, and we're doing the real stories behind some fairy tales, like Grimm's fairy tales, that were based on, like, some kind of real shit. Yeah. That was the topic that overwhelmingly won, and I'm kind of excited about it, because that sounds like a fun topic. Anyway, so yeah, we will see you guys tomorrow night for our main show, so thanks for dropping by, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.